We'll start off with this one for Jeff. I'll leave these up here for the men to look at. This first one is for Jeff. If a woman has short hair, should she wear an artificial covering when praying? If a woman has short hair, should she wear an artificial covering when praying? I don't believe the passage talks about this at all, as far as a woman wearing an artificial covering. If a woman has short hair, she's wrong, I think. I think that's what the passage is teaching. So, the question is not, how should she cover up what she's trying to remove her glory? How can she cover that up? That's not the question. The question is, how can she get her glory back, and that is to let her hair grow long. No, she should not cover her head to cover up her removal of her glory. She should grow her glory back.
I would say she needs to work on growing her hair anywhere the artist is covered when she prays. If a woman is not wearing artificial covering, should she be wrong?
No, as long as her attitude is proper.
I think I would like to have had a little more on her attitude. And as far as the question goes, my belief is that it doesn't matter if a woman wears a covering or not. It's as I said before, a woman wearing an article of clothing is fine. I mean, as long as she's not immodest, then the article of clothing that she wears is fine. If she should not be withdrawn. It's not a matter of a fellowship because we then talk about artificial covering to start with. So she should not be withdrawn.
This one is for Jeff. What does the word also in verse 6 mean?
Well, that's a good question. I think the passage is teaching that it is just as shameful for a woman to have short hair as it is for her to have a shaven head or a shorn head. And I think there's a difference in shorn and shaven. But both shorn and shaven are an obvious disgrace. And also, I think that's a tie-in word to say that. One is just as bad as the other. And I agree that if this word means in addition to, then it doesn't make as much sense. But I think the passage and the context and the meaning of that verse is saying that it's just as shameful as a woman, or it's just as shameful for a woman to have short hair as it is for her to have shorn or shaven hair.
I'm not 100% sure that sheer or shorn always means to cut very short, like a GI haircut. But I'm going to answer the question assuming that is so. By the way, some dictionaries other than mine just define the word as cut. But assuming shorn means to cut very short, like a GI haircut, then my position or Jeff's position will equally fit verse 6. It could be said that if a woman is not going to have the artificial covering, then she might as well cut her hair very short or shave her head. It's just as bad. It'd be similar to saying, if you're going to cheat on your taxes, you might as well rob a bank. It's like that. It's kind of consistent argument. Also, his position would fit. It could be saying, assuming his definition for short is right, that if you're going to cut your hair short, you might as well shear it like a GI haircut or shave it. You see, it's a consistency argument. We're agreed on that. And he's saying, if you're going to do this, that's bad. Then you might as well do that. We all recognize that as bad. That would fit either position equally well, I believe.
Sister Pat,
does an unmarried woman have to wear a covering?
In Ephesians chapter 5, about verse 22 or thereabouts, it says the husband is the head of the wife. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 11, it says the man is the head of the woman. The difference there. In a sense, all women should be in subjection to men, even ones that are not their husband. An unmarried woman should wear a covering, because it says every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Man, not necessarily her husband, but man, verse 3. Every woman. So it says every woman, I believe it. And it says she ought to do it when she prays or prophesies, and I believe that too. But Jeff would like to cut that part out.
I think a good question related to this is, does a non-Christian have to wear a covering? I mean, I agree that a woman, whether she's married or not, when she prays prophesied, her head should be covered. I think it's long hair. He thinks it's artificial covering. But the more interesting question is should a baby girl wear a covering? Well, she's not going to pray, I guess, but an infant girl, maybe who you are teaching to pray. And so, as far as my
let Jeff go first on this one. How long does a woman's hair have to be in order to provide her with a suitable covering?
I don't think this is nearly as hard a question as a lot of people try to make it be. I think you can ask almost anybody. When you see somebody, when you go to a Walmart and you look around the length of people's hair, and from a distance, if you can't tell if it's a man or woman solely based on the fact of the length of her hair, then it's probably too short. Because hair is a sign of authority. It's a symbol. It's something that should tell other people that something about you. And if you look at somebody and based on the length of hair, not the shape of it, you can, you know, certain women can have short hair and yet shape it so that we identify that as being a woman. But the Bible talks about the length of her hair being the symbol, not the shape of her hair. So you need, women need to have your hair long enough that it can serve as a sign to other people that you are different from a man. Not shape, but length. And, you know, same for the man. It's not that hard. And I think anybody here can look and tell whether a woman's hair is long or whether it's not. It's not that hard.
Let me point out that the Bible never says that the hair is a sign of authority for the woman. Never says that. It says that about the Catacaluso covering, the one that she needs to wear when she prays the prophet, but it never says the hair given as a sign of authority. The only thing it says about the hair is that the long hair is a glory for a woman, it's given her for a covering. As far as how long a woman's hair should be, I'm not sure. It needs to be long. The Bible doesn't say it only needs to be long enough to distinguish between a man. That's a nice thought, but the Bible doesn't say that. I'm not a woman, so I don't have to deal with this question like my daughter or the ladies here have to. I probably wouldn't cut my hair if I were a lady. Just be safe, just be sure.
Wouldn't let my soul be ripped.
So Pat, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says we are to be joyous and pray continually. I think this means we are to have God in mind always, speaking silently to God in prayer continually. Does this mean a woman can never remove her covering?
Is that 1 Thessalonians 5:17?
I believe they must mean 17, pray without ceasing. This does not mean that a woman should pray continuously. This means she should pray without ceasing, without stopping. Okay? That means a woman should never go without praying regularly. Does not mean that she always is praying. Suppose we went by the custom of closing our eyes when we pray. Therefore, she'd have a wreck every time she rose. It means you do not stop praying. That means if a woman quits praying, like she doesn't pray for a week or for months, she's violating this passage. So every time she prays, she needs to wear a covering. And it's not all the time. Obviously, from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, she needs to wear the covering when she prays or prophesies. That implies she's not praying all the time. When she's in the vegetable garden, working but not praying, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 does not show that require her to wear a covering. Therefore, she's not praying all the time.
I think it's obvious that passage does not say that women are supposed to spend their entire lives praying and never stopping. I mean, just an attitude. I think it's teaching an attitude. You know, we should always have a prayerful heart. We should always have God in mind. And at any time, Doesn't matter, you know, if you're sick or about to have a car wreck, if you're scared or this or that. At any time, you need to have a prayerful heart and always put God first and realize that He's where you need to go for prayer. And that's what praying without ceasing means. I think we all understand that. But as Pat says, every single time she prays, no matter if she's in distress, if she's about to wreck a car, or no matter what situation, a woman needs to have her head covered every single time she prays, whether inside the assembly or outside the assembly.
I'll try to give the sense of this question. It's worded a little more lengthy than this. But I think basically the point is to Jeff, is it valid to base your understanding of 1 Corinthians 11 on the Septuagint?
Well, if I understood that, I'm not basing my belief on the Septuagint at all. What the point I was making from the Septuagint was that parabolaine and katakalupto have similar meaning, and you don't have to go to the Septuagint for that.
Yeah.
What Genesis 38, if I was wrong about that, and those two words are not in that verse, doesn't matter to me. I don't have to go to that verse at all. Where I go is verse 15 and 1 Corinthians 11. It tells me what the covering is. And I also know that parabolaine and katakalupto have very similar meanings, and one does not mean artificial in every case, and one does not mean natural in every case. They are interchangeable, and the Septuagint is not necessary to understand them.
I would say that the Septuagint is helpful in helping us to learn the meaning of the word catapulto or calypso. Would it help them? Because it gives us a number of examples of how it's used in context. I thought of a passage that's parallel to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, to help you understand what I believe that it's saying, not that you pray continually. And when they were threatening the disciples in Acts 5:40-42, the media convinced them not to kill them. Said, okay, they let them go and they beat them. Said, don't do anymore. Verse 42 says, daily in the temple and in every house, they teach not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That didn't mean they were continually teaching without stop, didn't even take a bite to eat or go to sleep. That meant that they kept teaching regularly and didn't stop completely because they didn't threaten. And it's the same way about prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5:36.
I think most of the rest of the questions that we have are addressed to Pat. There may be a few for Jeff scattered throughout, but most of these will be for Pat. In verse 16, what custom do they not have, nor the churches of Christ?
Good question. Let's notice what the verse actually says. The verse has been construed to say the covering is just a custom. Now, that Mr. Old, the back of Mr. O'Neill's crack, I said, so that's not what the verse says. It says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom or practice, neither church of God. No such custom, referring back to the practice or the custom that the contentious man is contending for. The contentious man is contending that the women did not have to wear a covering when they prayed or prophesied. Evidently, he was arguing against what Paul had said. And Paul was saying, we have no such custom or practice as what the contentious man is contending for. So in effect, verse 16 is underscoring the fact that this is a practice that all the churches teach. We don't have the practice of what the contentious man is contending for. It's saying about the same thing as 1 Corinthians 4:17 at the end. He says, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's what verse 16 is doing. It's saying that I teach the same thing everywhere in every church. We don't have the practice that the contentious man is contending for.
Well, I had heard that opinion before. But one thing that I think that's a difficult passage or verse in this passage because the options that I see that means is either the covering is a custom altogether, whether it's artificial or whether it's hair. Either that is a custom and it didn't have to be done, the covering, because there's certainly, I don't think, evidence enough or authority to prove that that someone is saying the churches shouldn't be like the person who thinks that a woman shouldn't wear an artificial covering. I don't think there's nearly enough evidence in this passage or in the Bible to prove that the covering is an artificial covering, but The options that I say that means, and I certainly could be wrong, is that either the covering is a custom and not required today, or the I've heard the opinion of being contentious about anything. The simple fact of being contentious is not a custom of the church. We shouldn't, fight and argue about things. We should study with proper attitude. I could
personally learn more about that verse.
You did a good job of not fighting and arguing.
This one is also for Pat. If a woman has a medical condition that causes her hair to fall out, would a wig suffice as her artificial covering, or would she need another covering as well?
That's another interesting question.
Thankfully, I've been asked that question before. You probably think he's probably never been asked that, or something on that one.
Now, remember, I said two or three questions ago that it's not said that the hair is a sign of authority. But verse 10 is talking about the artificial covering, the one that needs to be worn when praying or prophesying, the catafaluco covering, not the parabolane covering, just that this calls off the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I agree with Jeff, in the sense that the newer translations translate that correctly. It's a sign of authority. So the covering needs to be a sign of authority. So the wig would cover her head, but it would not serve as a sign of authority, therefore it would not be acceptable.
Where the wig needs to be covering.
I don't know why a man-made covering will serve a purpose that a God-given covering can't. God states that He has given women long hair as a covering, and the whole passage talks about women being covered. And I certainly don't want to contend that what God has given is not sufficient. I think long hair can serve as a symbol of authority. I think it distinguishes between man and woman and can distinguish. It can serve as any sign that an artificial covering. Anything. I don't see anything that a cloth can tell someone else that long hair can't. What can it say? It says the same thing. All it is a symbol of authority. You can look and you can see that somebody's different. A woman is different from a man. So hair can serve the purpose that an artificial covering can, and it is a God-given symbol and not a man-made symbol.
This is also for Pat. Since the face is a part of the head, why should not the veil in 1 Corinthians 11 cover the face, as it did Moses in Exodus 34:33, Tamar in Genesis 38:15, and Rebecca in Genesis 24:65. And do you know of an example where a veil was used where the face is not covered?
As far as my answer, which is not going to include looking up verses, I think when the Bible, not that I don't think other verses are important, it's just that I don't have any in my head. I think when the Bible uses the word cover, it is the meaning of that word is determined by the context. There are many different things that have been covered. As you mentioned, you covered the lip. Moses covered his face, talks about different types of covering to cover different things, and the context determines what it is. And the context of 1 Corinthians 11 says it is her hair. And even though a woman's long hair doesn't cover any more of her head than a man's short hair does, it is described as a covering. And I accept what the Bible says on it.
Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but looking at 1 Samuel 1 and verse 12, this is where she's praying about hopefully to have a son. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Now if her face had been covered, as some of the
the people who are against the covering say, you know, it has to go all the way down to the feet and there's no way you can see anything. How does she know? How does Eli know she was praying? And she didn't pray audibly, but she saw her lips move. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, you're going to see that the Bible has the distinction of the head and the face just like we do. We have that distinction. Sure, when you refer to the head, we could say that includes the face, but most of the time we say the head, we exclude the face. We say the head and the face. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, Jesus said, but thou when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. You see the distinction between the head and the face just like we have today? And so when the Bible says that a woman ought to cover her head, okay, then it doesn't necessarily mean the face. Because the head and the face, they made a distinction back then just as they do today, just as we do today. Now again, would it be wrong for her to cover her face? No. But it's not required.
This one again is for Pat. Can you explain Paul's argument from nature in verse 14?
I'm not 100% sure what the questioner had in mind. Sometimes people see the word nature here and say, immediately come to the conclusion, see, this is just something that's not really required, that nature teaches it. No, not the Bible, not God's revelation. But notice what Thayer says about nature. Nature, that is, the natural sense, native condition or knowledge as opposed to what is learned by instruction and accomplished by training or prescribed by law. The native sense of propriety, 1 Corinthians 11:14, guided by the natural sense of what is right and proper. Part of ignorance may mean instinctively the regular law and order of nature's own. Regardless, just because nature teaches something, that doesn't mean it is not binding. The same Greek word is also found in Romans 1:26 to refer to the fact that homosexuality is against nature. Is Romans 1:24-27 not binding? So just because Paul says that this is taught by nature does not mean that it's not binding. Again, I'm repeating myself. He said that homosexuality is wrong. It's against nature. That doesn't mean it wasn't binding. That means you can learn by two different methods that something is wrong, by nature and by revelation. And we have that in 1 Corinthians 11. We learn by nature and by revelation. Now, if you're talking about nature's regard to the whole argument in verses 13 through 15, I've already responded to that, but I believe that Paul is saying that, okay, brethren, who should be covered when it comes to the artificial temporary covering, praying or prophesying, catechleto covering? Well, when we're trying to determine what gender, nature helps us to know that. How? Because nature gives the female gender the permanent natural covering, and that ought to tell us that the female gender is the one who ought to wear the temporary artificial covering.
I think what kind of said is that, or at least included in what he said, was that nature can teach something and revelation teaches the same thing. And that's what I think this is going on in 1 Corinthians 11, is that revelation is teaching verses 1 through 12 that a woman should have long hair and that a man should have short hair. And in verse 14, is where it teaches what nature teaches. It's the same thing that Revelation teaches. And honestly, I mean, I don't, it's just a matter of which one do you believe. I don't see how there's an inconsistency in what Pat says, although it seems like he has to go a long way to get to what he says as far as determining the gender. But to me, it seems like that is just saying nature is teaching the same thing as what Revelation teaches, but people don't listen to Revelation or nature, and that's why that has to be in the Bible to tell us what's right.
30 minutes have just got up. I've got just a couple more questions that I want to try to get in. In verse 4 for Pat, if prophesying is miraculous, why is praying not miraculous? As in 1 Corinthians 14:13-15.
1 Corinthians 14:14, the prayer was not actually miraculous, but the prayer was spoken in the tongue, and so the tongue was miraculous. Now, prophesying in 1 Corinthians 11, I'll grant you, is miraculous, but why would you think then that prayer would have to be miraculous just because they're mentioned together? In Romans chapter 12, let me read verses 6 through 8. Having then the gift of differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, that would be miraculous. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. That would not be miraculous. He that teacheth on teaching, that wouldn't be miraculous. He that exhorteth on the exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. See, these other gifts are not miraculous, but you're mentioned in the same context, in the same list, as something that is miraculous, prophecy. So why, just because you have prophecy in 1 Corinthians 11, 5, would you think that prayer was miraculous? You don't do that in Romans chapter 12, 6 through 8. Now, another good example of this, and I like to turn to this one because it's kind of humorous, Amos chapter 7, verse 12, says, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou fear, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Well, it says prophesy, that's miraculous. Does that mean that eating of bread is miraculous? No. So why would anybody assume in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, that since you have prophecy being miraculous, that prayer was miraculous? Let me point this out very clearly. We have some brothers that believe that the covering only needed to be worn in because it was only during the time of spiritual gifts, and we don't have that today. It says praying or prophesying. Now, I'll grant we don't have prophesying today, but we do have prayer. And so the spiritual gifts, brethren, are just dead wrong. It's praying or prophesying. And we still have praying today. Therefore, a woman still needs to be covered when she prays.
This last question, again, is rather lengthy, so I'll just try to give the gist of it. What should a husband and wife do? This is addressed to Pat. What should a husband and wife do in a situation where they disagree? One believes an artificial covering is required, the other doesn't.
That's a very interesting question. Consider the fact that my wife believes the long hair is the only covering taught by the passage. She agrees with Jeff. What I believe that should be done is the same thing that we do on a number of other issues where we disagree, and that is we don't get a divorce about it, but we continue to discuss with each other in a kind and reasonable way and try to persuade each other of our position. Since I believe that covering is required, part of God's law, and sin is a transgression of the law, I believe that my wife sins when she doesn't wear the covering when she prays. So I try to persuade her of that. She believes like this, that the long hair is the only covering, therefore I'm committing sin by teaching false doctrine and binding where God is not bound. She tries to persuade me of that. I'm hoping to persuade her one of these days that I'm correct, but I haven't done so in the last 12 years.
I think what can clearly be understood is that a woman ought to have long hair. And so as far as a husband and a wife, I think the questionable part is whether or not an artificial covering is required. We all know that long hair is required, and so I think a husband would be right and justified in requiring his wife to have long hair. I don't think that a husband would be right and justified to require his wife to wear an artificial cover. On the opposite token, because my future wife believes in the artificial cover. Isn't that interesting? And I certainly don't think that I would be right in trying to make her take the covering off. That would be it would go against her conscience, and that would be a Romans 14 issue. That if you do anything against your own conscience, it's sin. Whether it's right or wrong to start with, it doesn't matter. But if I required her to remove it without her believing that she should, it would be wrong with me. But I don't think that you should bind something on somebody that you can't, and I haven't seen tonight how you can authorize an artificial cover.